Herman has spoken into my life many times, and I have appreciated that. It's been encouraging and good. And so we have a history, and it's a good history. So let's just welcome Herman as he comes this morning.
I'm all right. I'm all right. Yeah, we do have... We do have a history, and I remember praying for you guys before you guys existed in our living room in the Netherlands. And we were missionaries over there for 14 years, and we came back about to almost 10 years or 9 years ago. So it's amazing how fast time goes. It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time over there. And, you know, we live in seasons, and that the Lord will close a season and start another one. And even though you may want to live back in the previous season, you realize it's not the right thing to do. So you have to follow through where the Lord is taking you and take you through those seasons and to recognize that He is the one that leads and guides you. I've spent a lot of time praying on what I'm going to tell you guys, and I really didn't know where to start. But I'm going to start in the book of... That's the wrong one. No, that's it. Where is the... In John, there it is. John chapter 7. You know, one of the things that we so often find ourselves getting stuck in is that we are asking God to give us something that He already has given. And so often we find ourselves as, oh, Lord, give me something. Give me something. I need this. I need that. And He says, I've already given it to you. It's just up to us to exercise it. It's up to us to use it and to recognize it and to be able to walk that out. You know, in Jesus, I'm reading 37 through 39, but it says on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, on that last day, the great day of the feast, what feast is He talking about? And what really was happening at the time? Now, anyone who follows Jewish history, feasts are a big deal. Feasts are really a big deal. And here is the last part of that feast. And these Jews are together. They're worshiping. They're excited. The priests are taking water and pouring it onto the altar because it was the feast of Sukkot. And it was just a really exciting time. Traditionally, when the priest is pouring the water on the altar at the end of that particular feast, they're saying, pour more, pour it higher, lift it higher, because they're excited about what was happening. In the midst of that picture, where they're all celebrating and having a great time, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. So there, he had that immediate attention of the people that were there because they were already talking about the water. And here he's saying, if you drink of me, out from your innermost beings will flow. So often we come to a church like this and we get together and we're saying, oh Lord, flow in me. Put it in me. Put more in me. But we forget that it's got to flow out. It doesn't say that I'll pour it in you. It says I'll pour it out of you. And so often we get stuck thinking that we need more, but yet we're not being a conduit giving it out. The dam's blocked. What's blocking yours? Where's it stopping? You know, the Bible talks a lot about fruit. In Galatians, fruit of the Spirit. He talks a lot about gifts of the Spirit, but he also talks about fruit. Now, the last time I looked at fruit, you can't will a fruit to grow. You got to water the plant. You got to wait for the fruit to be there. It is a product of an action as opposed to a gift that we get. So the fruit of the Spirit is a product of an action. That action is that river of water flowing through us. And that's something we have to grab a hold of and recognize that what God puts in, we have to get out. And if we don't get it out, we don't get a lot in. But yet we keep on asking, Lord, give me more, but we're not allowing it to come out. So where is your block? What is stopping you? Do you know what's in your heart? Do you have an idea what could be stopping that? It says in Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he has raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, which dwells in you." We so often ask for more power. We so often ask for different things for God to show us and for different things that we need. And so often our prayer times is a time where we're asking God for needs. I need this, I need that, I need this, I'm struggling, Lord, please. And it's great, there's nothing wrong with praying for needs. But we have to recognize he's already provided most of them. We need healing, okay? By his stripes we've been healed. We need finances. God will provide all of us according to his riches and glory. We need to get out of a pit that we find ourselves in. And he says, come, drink. I'll give you life, and you can walk in that victory. So let's not fall in the trap asking for things we already have. Let's exercise what he's already given us and recognize what it is. You know, we often talk and says, well, if I titled this message, it'll be, "You've Got the Power." We ask for the power, but you've got the power. The power's already been given to you. Colossians 1:11. We also pray that you will be strengthened by all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. All the endurance and patience you need. But Lord, I need more. No, all the patience and endurance you need. And we end up asking, oh Lord, I need more patience. Well, you've got all. Do we grab a hold of that? Do we walk that out? Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. We have to trust that Holy Spirit that's within us. It's there. We got to use it. We got to recognize it. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. A very familiar scripture for a lot of us is, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10 says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? I'm weak, but hey, that's where your strength is. We find ourselves in a trap thinking that we've got the ability to do it. And we work at it, and we try to get out of this pit that we're in. We try to walk in this victory that God wants for us. And it's just not, okay, well, I guess I got to pray. And we've missed the primary power source. We've missed it. We've let it go. And we have to recognize that that power source rests inside of your heart. When you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to dwell in you. And that's sufficient. You don't need more. You just need to exercise what's in you. You need to flow that out, that direction out. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's 1 John 2:6. I use a lot of scripture, by the way, because that's where our strength is. He who says he abides in him, Jesus, ought to walk just like Jesus walked. So what did Jesus do? And how do you know what he did? How do we find out what he did? How do we recognize what Jesus has done, both for us and for other people? That's why I use a lot of scripture. He's given it to us. It's already there. We recognize it. We see. We model. If Jesus did that, we can model that. We can walk that out. You know, stubbornness can be a very dangerous thing, and I'm a stubborn Dutchman, I have to tell you. And anyone who knows me, that stubbornness is one of those things that, well, it's also called a hard-headed Dutchman. We tend to be somewhat stubborn. But then I think that if I talk around and everyone, you'll find that you've got a stubborn streak about something in your life. That's because we think that we are the ultimate power. We think that we are the one that can pull ourselves out of different positions, that we can get the strength, that we can garner that. And we get so stubborn with it that we miss our power source. And that's why the scripture says when we are weak, that's when the strength comes in. Because the strength comes from that Holy Spirit that's riding and living inside of you. You know, in August of 1994, there was an airliner, a Korean airliner. And it skidded across the runway. It skidded right off and went off into the side through the fence. Everybody got out of the plane alive, and then it blew up. And it's a true story. So what was the cause of the accident? Coming to find out, it was in power play. The two pilots were struggling. Who's in control? And they fought over the control, and because of fighting of the control, they went out of control. Are you fighting who's in control? Because I don't want to skid. I want to be able to go where God wants me to go. And so often when we get stuck, when we realize, I heard the gasp, when we realize that we get stuck and we think, God, I need you. I can't do it anymore. Well, we shouldn't have done it to begin with. He's got to be the one that walks and walks with us. He's got to be the one that will lead and guide you. And if you find yourself stuck someplace, let go and let him. Just let go, because you've got the power, and the power is the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's in charge of your life every day? Are you going to try it yourself first, and if it doesn't work, then call? I'd have to say 90% of the people probably do it that way. And I find myself many days waking up, okay, well, I got this, and you realize that you hit a wall and you got to step yourself back a little bit and you've got to ask and trust God to give you that wisdom to do that, and regardless of what it is that you're doing. We have a prayer line at the ministry where I work at, and we get a lot of prayer calls. We average maybe 30 calls a day. And we've got it just open. We invite people that if you want prayer, you can call the ministry, and we've got people to pray with you. And so often, I get people that call that's where they find themselves, just stuck. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what else to do. They find themselves in a pit, and they're looking out for help. So we pray with them. And the primary thing we pray is what the Word says. If the Word said that you're healed, you don't have to get stuck in the illness. We can walk through that. If the Word says that you're having relationship challenges, regardless of where it is, the Lord will help you through that. It's letting go and letting God deal with the issue, whatever it may be, that you find yourself, and letting Him walk that through. So who's in charge? It says in James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like the way the message says that, by the way. I wrote that down here, too. It says, so let God work his will in you. And you know, he has a will for you. Let him work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil, and he'll watch him scamper. That's the power we have. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body. You will have strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. There's a lot in that scripture. There's a lot in it. My heart, his heart. Which one's in charge? Is it my heart or his heart? That whole area of scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. At every act of what we do it out of our heart. We do it as an act of worship. It's a heart close to God. It It says in John 14:23, it says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. How deep do we need to dig in our heart to find our Lord Jesus Christ? How do we look in our heart? Do we have Jesus there? Are we inviting him in every aspect of our lives? And then the scripture, then Proverbs goes on and says, my mind, his mind, lean not to your own understanding. Our idea is not always the best one, and seldom is it. Lean not to your own understanding. Seek wisdom from God. Recognize that he has that answer. Recognize that he desires to lead you and guide you in whatever you're facing, to be able to walk that out, to be able to grab a hold of that. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Is he first in your life? Or is he second? Is he there for when you need him? Is it easy to go back to him, whatever you're facing? Is it easy to realize that you can call on him in your time of need? And if you have a strong relationship with him, it's easy. Oh, dear Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I messed up and I'm so sorry. We all mess up. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's there for us. We're the ones that remember all the bad things. He said, I forgot. I've forgiven you. Go on, man. Forget it. Go on. Just don't do it anymore. Keep going. It's his ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. This is still on the Proverbs scripture. He will direct your path. Way is the path of direction. The Bible says that he orders the footsteps of the righteous. So if we really want him to lead us, he orders our footsteps. If we find ourselves at a dead end, ask the Lord. He will guide you. He will direct you. And if you haven't tried that very often, try it sometimes. It works. It really does. Sometimes there's a direction you don't want to start off with, and then you realize it was the right way to go. It's his ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. That's in Isaiah. It says in Psalms, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There is so much direction that God wants for us. And that when we find ourselves in a particular spot where we need that direction, we got to ask him. We got to recognize that he's there for us. Regardless of where you find yourself. If you find yourself far away in a deep pit, he's there for you. If you find yourselves everything is going great, he's still there for you. He's still there to lead you and to guide you. To give you that ability to be able to come up from where you are and walk in the victory that he desires for you. And we may find ourselves in a tough spot and we realize that I can't get out of this by myself. I've tried, I run into a wall. I try another way, I run into another wall. I try another way and I find myself even in a deeper mess. Let's quit trying it our way. Let's see what God really can do for you. And there's only one truth. There's only one name, Jesus. There's only one way that we can get that kind of aspect within the walk that we have, and that is walking with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves us so much that he gave his life so that we can walk in life. The message of salvation is so complete, so beautiful, so much for us that we can grab a hold of that and rejoice in it every single day. Because what he did because he wants relationship with you. You know, that's God's primary desire. Remember the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, they kind of messed up. They tried to cover themselves with these fig leaves because they were embarrassed. And then comes God, Adam, where are you? God wanted relationship with Adam. But what he did separated his relationship with God, separated Adam from God. And he tried to cover himself. And so often we try to cover our own things that we feel that fall short from walking with God. And we try to cover ourselves with fig leaves. And it doesn't work. And God is saying, where are you? I want you. So what did God do? Anybody remember the story in the Garden of Eden? He took those fig leaves and he clothed them with what? Animal skins. How did he get those animal skins? He killed the animal. The animal bled. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. So God took a substitute of the sin that Adam and Eve did and clothed them in the garments of the innocent animal so that God can have relationship with Adam. God wants relationship with you. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so you can have that relationship with him. And through his death and his shedding of the blood, we wear Jesus as garments of righteousness. Why? Because God wants to have relationship with you. That is his primary motivation. His motivation is not to see what he can get out of you or what he can do through you. He wants relationship with you. That is where our strength is. That's how we can walk. And that picture of salvation is so beautiful that when we really grab a hold of that, of how much God really loves us and wants to have that relationship with us. And then when we do accept him into our lives, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And that power is in us. The greatest power known. The power that spoke into existence, everything around us, lives inside of us. So you've got the power. All authority have I given unto you. So we've got the authority. The Bible says the greater one lives inside of you. The Bible tells us that there's nothing greater in this world than that power that lives inside of you. And we need to exercise that. It's his ways. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So often in our lives, we realize that we get stuck doing stuff because we did it the day before, and we did it the day before that, and we did it the day before that, and next thing you know, that becomes routine. The routine becomes a rut, and we follow that rut because it's the easiest pattern to go in. And we find ourselves going, and we do it all the time. We get so stuck in this rut that we begin to rot. And I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is that you're doing. I don't care how bad it is or how minor it is. If we get stuck in the rut, we have eliminated that power from really walking in us. And we cannot get stuck in our own ruts. We can only get stuck in that flexibility, that power that lies inside of us that we can just go and continue on with what God has for us. And the way we do that is with a clean heart. The only way we walk in that is that our hearts are clean. Now, I know that about me, I know that I often have to find myself to where, oh, dear Lord, I thought that again. I'm so sorry. I find myself doing that often. I find myself that I want to have that relationship with God so close, so strong all the time that it's often in the morning I say, oh, Lord, please. Help me not to think that way or say that or do that. Help me to stay clean with you. And that scripture always comes back to me, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. And we don't have to live in the different things that pulled us away from where God wants us to be. We can walk in that victory. We just have to accept what he said and what he's already given us. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So often we have to change the way we think in order to walk in that path that God wants us to walk in. And we find ourselves challenged very often to change the way we think. And we find ourselves stuck in this and say, okay, I need to shift the way I think because I want to hear what God has. So I allow him and his thinking to flow through me. And then it says that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. What does that really mean? That we're supposed to sacrifice everything we do. Okay, God, here I am. Do what you want. That's not really what it means. Remember what God's primary purpose was for you. Well, it's God's primary purpose. I said it a couple of minutes ago. To have relationship with you. There is nothing more important to God than to be able to say, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, and that makes me happy. And then our reasonable services comes out of that love and that heart of the relationship that we have. Relationship isn't necessarily labor. It's not labor that we do. It's an aspect of love, and we present our bodies to God because we want him to use us because we love him. And it comes out of that relationship that we can have and walk in. In 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Once again, telling us to walk in the path that he wants for us. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also those of wood, clay, and some honor and some dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be the vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. God uses clean vessels. And I've already told you how to stay clean. It's not hard. It's easy. But that's who he uses. That's how we get to exercise that power that's within us. So let's use that. Let's recognize that. God uses clean vessels. And then his possession says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the fruit of your increase. You know, God has... what's mine is his. Everything that I have, I owe to the Lord. Everything that I have that I see around me comes to me because of God's grace, of his mercy, of him working in me. I've seen so many miracles of God's provision, God's love, and just his direction that he's given to us. And I see all kinds of things come back that I never thought would. So often before we went on the mission field, this was 97, I was working as a computer, in charge of computer systems at NutraSweet. Betsy was an instructor. We were doing well. God said, okay, go be missionaries. How many of you know how you get money for as missionaries? You have to ask, and you have to trust the Lord. So we went from two incomes to nothing, and we went overseas. And I have seen God bless every step that we made. Everything that we've done. We've never been in lack. And we never will be. Because I trust him. And I recognize that power that he's given us. Trust him. We are to use everything as if it belongs to God. The truth is, it does. And you and I are merely stewards. It says in Luke, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that says a lot to me. Does it say a lot to you? Where's your treasure? What's really important to you? And if you look around and you find your treasure is something that you value more than walking with God, you've got a problem. You need to change your heart towards that possession, or you need to get rid of the possession because it's keeping you from walking with God. It's easier to change your heart, by the way. But I've had to give up some things. And I've seen God bless as a result. But I've definitely had to minimize a number of things in my life that I thought was so important that I really needed, and I realized that I didn't. You know, that power that rides in us is there all the time. Now, giving back to God on what He's given us is a privilege. It's a pleasure. It says in Acts chapter 19, verses 2 through 7, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" He asked them. "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself taught the people to believe in the one that will come after," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied." There are about 12 men in all. Here is an experience of some people who didn't know and recognize where their strength could be from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And if we recognize that our Holy Spirit desires for us to walk in victory in every area of life, and we utilize that, and we recognize that, and we start grabbing a hold of it, it'd be amazing how quick you will see things change in your own heart and in your own life. It takes a change of thought. It takes some sacrifice of things that you held dear. But man, the rewards are great. The rewards are great. Jesus loves you so much that He's willing to forgive all so that He can have a relationship with you. Jesus loves you so much and that wherever we find ourselves, whatever battle, and I probably go around the room and everybody's got some sort of battle in their life right now. Maybe small, maybe big, but we all have a battle that we've got. Are we letting go and letting God deal with that? Are we allowing Him to guide us and direct us with that? Are we giving it to Him? Do we recognize the value and the power of prayer? Do we pray? Do we spend time praying? And I don't mean just blessing the food, because that's usually the most prayer that people do, is saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this food." And they forget that they pray and talk to God. And you can talk to Him just like you talk to anyone. And He's there to listen to you. And if you're sitting there expecting to hear an audible voice, otherwise He's not hearing you, you're wrong. He's touching you all the time. It's called a small, still voice. He's there. He's talking to you. He's guiding you. He's leading you. He's loving you. Why? Because you have a relationship with Him. And we need to be able to be open with Him, to give our concerns to Him, and to recognize and see that we can walk in the victory that He wants us all desire, all of us to walk in. And if we need to release things, release them. If we need to repent, repent. But we have to recognize that power that we get from who resides in us is unlimited and continues on. Grab a hold of it. Don't let it go. It says, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives." Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. See, that power, he desires that for each of us. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Don't give up. The only way to lose is to give up. It's the only way you lose. Just don't give up. The Bible tells us that when we have done all to stand, we are to stand, therefore, holding up a shield of faith that can quench all the fiery darts. The shield of faith. Now, so often we think, okay, I'm going to be holding up a board and it's going to quench these things. It's faith that quenches them. It's the faith. It's putting substance to things that we're really hoping for. It becomes evidence to what we really don't see yet. That's faith. That's faith in Him. That's faith rising up in you. That's using that power that's in you. We put faith behind it. We have faith that God will do what He said He will do. I believe this book has been proven to me more times than I can count. I don't need to have someone go through apologetics to tell me that this Bible is the Word of God. Some of you may because you're not that close with the Lord. I don't need that. Why? Because I've experienced it. Now, I can teach apologetics. I can teach why this is the Word of God. I can teach where it comes from. I can teach the everything from the different documents we found and how the Bible was built and how it became what we've books that are in there. I can teach that. But I don't need that because I've experienced it. That power has flown in me. Can it flow in you? Can you recognize what God really has for you that you can walk out every day? Because it's here. That evidence is there. It becomes real in your life. It's the power to witness. It's the power to live for Jesus. It's the power to have all the blessings that he so desires for you to have and to walk in. He's provided it for you. How long do you want me to go? I can go on. Yeah, that's good. All right. We're in good shape. All right. You know, when we recognize that we've got that power, what did I say? That's the power. That's this page right here. I just moved it away. It's the power to witness. How do I tell other people that Jesus died for them? Oh, my goodness, I can't say that. They may reject me. We've got something that's so powerful in us that we need to show other people. We need to be able to tell them, too. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, witness to everyone you meet. Use words when necessary. That means our lives needs to show what it is that's different in us. We have the power to witness. You know, we have the power to pray. Many people struggle with prayer life. I said this a couple of minutes ago. They find it really difficult to spend any quality time praying. I've prayed. Now what? I prayed in the morning and nothing changed. I've prayed for 10 minutes and I'm still in the same problem. And we get into this really short vision mode that it needs to be like microwaving something in a microwave, that if it's not ready in 10 seconds, it takes too long. Prayer life is life. It is part of our everyday living. It's not microwave fast, but it's always there. It's always ready. And we need to fall into the trap of talking to him instead of not. And don't worry about the words you use or how to do it. Just start talking to him. He knows where you are. He already knows. And he wants to have that talk back and forth. So he gives us that power to pray. And it says in Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For an example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You know, we've got the ability to pray. We just have to do it. We have to spend time one way or another, whether it's prayer within a group of people, that's great. Pray for yourself too. Whether you just want to pray by yourself, that's great. Pray with other people too. The Bible says praying for one another, encouraging one another. We need one another. You know, we have the power to see signs following. You know, we so often forget the things we need to remember and remember the things that we forget, that we ought to forget. So often we forget the miracles that we've seen. I've had miracles happen in my life. I've seen it. But so often we forget them. They may be big, they may be small, but we forget them. But we remember, oh, geez, yeah, this is not helping me. It's not going anywhere. Remember all those bad things that happen that we just need to forget. Don't forget the miracles. They become evidence for you to continue and to press in and to recognize that those signs and wonders can still follow us personally and for the people we pray for. So it's the power. You've got the power. How many of you recognize you really have that power? How many of you really grab a hold of that and walk in it every day? That's great. Don't give up. Keep doing it because you've got the power. Quit asking for more because you got it. Just use it. For those of you who don't know what the power is, recognize how much Jesus wants to walk with you every single day. recognize how much he wants to have that relationship with you every single day, because he's right there for you. And he's not going to give up. He'll always be there. Be ready. Ask him. Recognize the change that he can do for you and walk in the victory he so desires for you to walk in. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. It's a great guideline for us to live in, and it's a great word that we can grab a hold of and to be able to walk in and to recognize what you have already given us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every heart here is stirred, that they know how much you love them and that you desire to walk with each and every one, that you desire to give them that power and for them to use the power that you've given them, to allow them to walk in the victory that you've placed before them just with confidence and expectation, that we can expect what you wrote in your word for us can become reality in our lives, because that's why you wrote it in your word. Stir the hearts of everyone here. Let them know how much you truly do love them, and let them walk in the victory and the power that you've given them. In Jesus' name, amen.